Thank you, team. Once again, a wonderful job. I so much appreciate the ministry of our worship team. They bless my heart, and I trust they do yours as well. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to please open up to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of personal conduct. As believers, I'm going to need a volunteer. Do we have a volunteer? Bill volunteered himself? Okay. I'm going to need you to sit right here. Could you move over here? Not only that, you are to keep him awake. That is your mission during this service, is to make sure that he doesn't start Z-ing.
Well, what if I start to Z?
Didn't think of that, did you?
It's been kind of an ongoing joke this week on Facebook with Papo talking about he gets his best naps of the week in church. And so I have decided to put someone there to keep him awake somewhat, because obviously Sue is just not doing the job. I don't know what that's about, Sue. He's your responsibility, you know. Okay? If you have your Bibles open, Colossians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 2 through 6. And in this particular passage, the Apostle Paul is kind of giving us a few little clues here as to how our life can more effectively impact the world in which we live. And so let's read through these particular verses. Now I want to share with you four things out of this. I want to share with you the internal, the external, the opportunities, and the flavor. All right? So let's look at these. Beginning our reading at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of God, for which I also have been imprisoned, in order that I might make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. As Paul writes this particular little passage to the church there at Colossae, he is encouraging the people to do the same type of a thing that he encouraged the Thessalonian church, and that is to involve themselves in continual, constant prayer. And as we involve ourselves in continual, constant prayer, we gain wisdom from God, and we gain some insight into the opportunities that He places in front of us. You know, there are a lot of times in life when we miss the opportunities because we're not looking. We're just not paying attention. We're not being sensitive to God. There are those times when God places people in our lives, in our way, that we could be able to be a good, solid witness for Him. But we're not as open in prayer, and so we're missing those opportunities because we're not sensitive to what God is doing and the door that He may be opening. Perhaps we're napping during church. But I want you to look with me, first of all, at this issue of the internal. Look at verse 2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, as we go, then before the Lord, we should be continually going before Him with that attitude of gratitude, thanking God continually for the great things that He has done for us, for the grace, the mercy, and the peace that was spoken about earlier in the service today. You know, it is an amazing thing. We stop to look back that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The holy, the righteous, the pure, dying for those who were unholy, unrighteous, and impure. God loving us so much that He was willing to display and to pour out His mercy and His grace on us, as the worship team sang about this morning. You know, as I was thinking of the opening of that song, and as Ryan was mentioning that, here is the complete quote. I want to give it to you. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something you do deserve. And peace is the result of the two. Grace, we do not deserve the grace of God. We are unworthy of that. Mercy is why God gives us that grace, because He is merciful. We deserve the punishment of death. And yet when you take the grace and the mercy of God and put them together, the ultimate end is peace. And in that, we should continually live in that attitude of thankfulness for what God has provided for us. That's the internal. We choose how we're going to think. We really do. We can choose to be victims or we can choose to be victors. We can choose to be positive or we can choose to be miserable wretches. We can choose to be happy or we can choose to be miserable and make others around us miserable. And so Paul is telling us, look, choose to be grateful internally for what God has done for you. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That's the internal prayer that we ought to be praying. Secondly, I want you to notice the external. Look at verses 3 and 4. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Now, as Paul is looking at the church there at Colossae, he's telling them, you need to be reaching out in your prayers for the freedom of the gospel to go wherever it can go. Pray for others. Don't just focus on yourself. In gratitude, you want to express your prayers internally, but then you also want those prayers to spread out. And you want those prayers to impact more and more and more individuals. And in the process of that, that external reaching out, there comes a freedom in the gospel. And that freedom in the gospel makes an impact in more and more people's lives. We should be praying for our brothers and sisters in New York State, in New Jersey. It's hard to pray for New Jersey. But nonetheless, we should pray for New Jersey. We should be praying for our brothers and sisters in South America. We should be praying for our brothers and sisters in Europe and in Asia. Wherever in this world believers gather together, we should be praying for them that the freedom of the gospel may go out. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there was an American pastor that was arrested in the nation of Iran just within the past 2 weeks. He has received a death sentence, and they have taken him away from his family, who was there just visiting some family members who were Americans working in that nation. And when, as soon as they found out that he was a pastor back here in the United States, he was arrested. He was tried in an illegal court that took 15 to 20 minutes and sentenced to death, and he has disappeared, and his family has not seen him since. They have no idea whether he's alive or whether he's dead. We should be praying for that brother, praying for his family, that the freedom of the gospel might be able to go out and make an impact even in Iran. You know, there's a lot of things I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand why anybody would want to go on vacation in Iran. All right, that's one thing. I don't understand why anybody would want a vacation in Mexico. Because people are just simply targets in those places. That's all they are. They're just simply targets. But you know, I can appreciate the fact that people are willing to go anywhere and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to be praying continually for our brothers and sisters around the world, that the gospel of Christ might go out clearly and make an impact in people's lives. That's the external. And then third, I want you to notice the opportunities. Look at verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, towards those who are non-believers, and that's all that it's simply talking about. Towards those who are non-believers in Christ. They don't believe in Christ. They don't want to live for Him. We need to pray for opportunities to be able to witness to them so that we can possibly make an impact for the kingdom of Christ. And that's what Paul's saying to the church at Colossae. Don't miss those chances. Make the most of the opportunity, he says in that fifth verse. Make the most of the opportunities. Wherever you're at, let people know that God loves them. Wherever you're at, let people know that God loves you and that He has made an impact in your life. Take advantage of every opportunity to show the love of Jesus Christ. And don't miss those chances. And then notice the very last thing in personal conduct is that we are to add the flavor. Look at verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. Salt has some interesting properties. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. Salt adds flavor. Absolutely. You know, there's certain things that I cannot stand to eat without a little salt. There's some things I can't stand to eat without a lot of salt. There's some things that no matter how much salt you put on it, I wouldn't eat it. Rice being one of those. But you know, salt also promotes healing. You know, it not only flavors food, but it promotes healing. If you get a cut and you want to put up with a little pain, you'll find that if you put a little salt on it, it heals quicker. Salt has healing properties. And so as Paul is talking here, and he's talking about their conduct, he's talking about the honesty of being a seasoned believer in Christ and promoting that seasoning and pouring, as it were, salt into the wounds. Sure, it's going to hurt, but it's going to promote healing. And when people respond to the gospel and find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they find a lot of healing that takes place. But it's a painful process where we have to acknowledge that we've failed God. Where we have to acknowledge that we have sinned and walked far away from what God wants us to be. That's painful. And yet, once we have had the lotion of God applied to our lives, once we've been seasoned with His grace, with His love, with His mercy, once all of that takes place, our life takes on a fresh meaning and a fresh perspective. And we don't look at things the way that we used to. But we look at life the way that God would look at life. See, that's what Paul's saying to the church at Colossae. He's saying, look, have a heart filled with gratitude so that your prayers might continually be with thanksgiving. Not only that, but pray for those around the world that the freedom of the gospel may be able to go out freely and unhindered and be able to make an impact for God and for His kingdom. And then he's telling them as well, take advantage of every opportunity that God places in front of you to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share His love, His grace. Because in taking advantage of those opportunities, you promote seasoning to life, you promote healing to the soul, and you promote growth to the body. Folks, the body of Christ is huge. It reaches all around this world. And you and I are privileged to be a part of that. Always thank God for what He has demonstrated to you in His grace and mercy so that you can have peace. And pray that others as well find the peace that passes our understanding. Would you please stand? Our precious Heavenly Father, thank You. Lord, thank You for, as unworthy as we are, thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy. Father, thank You for Your peace. And Lord, we thank You for our brothers and sisters throughout this world, wherever they're at. We pray for all churches today that are going to be preaching the truth. And Lord, we ask that Your word might go out unhindered. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are captives by Your enemies. And ask, Lord, that You would set them free. And if that's not Your will to set them free, then Father, keep them faithful. Help them to not compromise their faith. And Father, help us to be aware of the opportunities You give us so that we might make a difference in Your kingdom. Now, Father, we ask that You would wash over us with Your presence every moment of every day. That You would keep us in the palm of Your hand and in the center of your will. And Lord, we'll give you thanks and we'll give you glory, for you're the one who is worthy of our praise. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus.